Hey guys, quick disclaimer before we get into the episode. Due to some technical difficulties, this episode is actually coming out a few days after it was recorded. So it's coming out after Werner has been officially signed and literally the day after Aston Villa and Chelsea played. So the information in this is still very up to date, but I just needed to mention that in case some things sounded out of date. But yeah, sit back, relax and enjoy our latest episode.
By Didier Drogba. Yeah, it's the greatest night in Chelsea's history. Champions of Europe at last.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the SW6 Daily Podcast. I'm excited, you're excited, we're all excited. Football's coming back. So ahead of that, I'm actually bringing on quite a few people that I do appreciate from the Chelsea community. But before I do introduce them, obviously, my name is Dami, hosting the podcast. The 1-year anniversary is coming up very soon. Big ups to you guys. Giveaway coming soon. I will be co-hosting this episode. It's one of the SW6 Daily admins, Jay McIntosh. Jay, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm so excited for this one. This one's going to be really good. This one's going to be really good. Perfect. I know it is.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, as I'm sure you've seen on Twitter, and you can see the title as well, our two guests today, we've had one on before, and this is the first appearance for one of them. So I'll be introducing our first-time guest on the podcast. We'll be introducing Aiden. Aiden, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be exciting.
Perfect, perfect. Now, second time coming onto the podcast, I'll be introducing Con. Con, what's he saying, Maji? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Excited to do this.
Perfect, perfect. So I'll be going straight into this. Before we actually talk about football properly, Aiden, I'll be starting off with you. I'm going to be asking, because with times like this, it wouldn't make sense not to ask. The coronavirus, how has it affected you since it came up? What have you been up to since it started?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's been decent. I'm in Toronto and I go to the University of Toronto. So we've actually been working on the coronavirus. I like work in a lab that works on it. Oh, and wow. We're partnered up with like the public health division of Ontario, which is like the province that Toronto's in. I've been like working on that. So it's been a nice break while football's been down to actually have like something to do. But it's been good. I've been involved and it's been terrible, but it's been like a pretty good opportunity for me, like career wise.
That's a good one, actually, because a lot of people for me, this virus, like, obviously it's put all of us down and like we can't watch football, we can't really go out that much, social distancing and all of that. But I have had some benefits. I mean, since the start of the virus, I've actually lost about 23 kilograms, which for me was absolutely mental. So I'm back on that, my healthy weight. I haven't been this weight in what, like 4 years, so it's absolutely amazing. But Con, since last time we spoke, the virus was just almost a thing, but now it's like proper. So how's it been treating you down in London?
Obviously, being like right next to London, it's been a bit of a pain, not going to lie. Got furloughed as well, which wasn't too bad. Money isn't mad bad, but it's not ideal. Obviously, you can't really go out much because where I am. But I don't know how everyone's losing weight. Look, everyone's losing weight these days. I've put on like a stone. How is this losing weight?
Jeez.
Yeah, it's because I'm very active normally. Sitting inside doing nothing, it's just the weight piles on. So I've got to be careful what I eat. But yeah. It's been all right. It's been all right. Like, I'm healthy and I appreciate that. So it could be worse.
That's great.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So, Jay, how's it been treating you, my friend?
Yeah, good. I've been pretty busy, to be fair, bro. Like, I've started like flat hunting with my girlfriend, which makes me feel quite grown up. I'm going to be 23 in 2 days, so I feel kind of old. I got accepted onto my master's course, which is exciting. So there's a lot of things going good. But obviously, it just sucks, especially like when you know a few people that have been personally affected. I think that's when it's quite tough, but it's quite nice to see that the majority of people have been able to use the time that they've spent inside productively and bettering themselves or educating themselves or trying to get a little bit more fit or change their diet slightly. So it's been really nice overall to see people making those positive changes. But I think now everyone's really, really keen to get back outside.
Perfect, perfect. I mean, it's good that all of us are doing, at least, I mean, Con, you don't seem to be too happy with the fact that you're doing, but everybody seems to be doing something relatively interesting. And speaking of interesting, we can't really have a Chelsea podcast without talking about the transfers that have been happening. Jesus Christ, all the news that's been coming left, right, and centre. We've developed new ITKs on the platform. You thought those would be a thing, but here they are. Transfer season is back. And now we actually started off by signing Con's love child. We signed Ziyech. Now it's literally just we're waiting for confirmation from the clubs about Werner. And then we're also in talks for Havertz and some other people. So I actually want us to talk about all these people and I want us to give them a rating so far. Starting off with Ziyech. Aiden, what do you think of the Ziyech signing and what do you rate the signing out of 10?
I think the ZX signing is like probably like an 8 out of 10. It's a move that I think in the past I would have been really surprised that Chelsea made, like throughout 2015 to 2020. Some of the transfers that Chelsea have made have been close to terrible. Like think of Bakayoko and Alvaro Morata and things like that. And I think when it happened, I was shocked. Like I did not expect them to be able to pull off something like ZX. But I'd say it's 8 out of 10. The age is, if he was a bit younger, let's say 24, that would be... a little more ideal, maybe from a bigger league. The Dutch league jump is good. I mean, we've seen players like Suarez come over and do things in the Premier League, but I think it's an 8 out of 10 for me. He's the player that Chelsea have been missing since Juan Mata left.
That's interesting, actually. I mean, like you said, we've not had a player like Mata in a very long time, and like that style of player, I mean, Ziyech is someone that can play down the middle as well, but we were expecting him to play on the wings. Do you expect him to play on the wings or further down the middle in one of the eight positions?
Yeah, I think this is... I think one of the problems with Chelsea's two signings, let's say Werner's a signing and Ziyech's a signing. I think we'll get to Werner later, most likely. But I think the biggest problem Chelsea will have is fitting both of these players in and what formation we use going forward. But I don't know. Like, I think Frank wants to play 4-3-3. And I think if we do play 4-3-3, I'd prefer Ziyech on the wing. Something similar to like a Bernardo Silva that plays at City, for example, like something like that. But yeah, it's a good question. Like where will he fit? What will he do? I think Ziyech is better suited to a winger in the Premier League. I think we've seen players of his profile, like Mahrez, for example, do things on the wing rather than playing centrally. I don't think the Premier League really suits central players that are creative. I think they're better on the wings. I think central players in the Premier League are better as like a Loftus-Cheek where you have dynamism and power going both ways. I think that's what I prefer in the middle of the pitch. But yeah, I see Ziyech playing on the wing for me.
And just a quick question actually on top of that. If you have Ziyech playing on as a right winger and you obviously have Reece James as your right back, do you think we're going to be quite a predictable team sometimes because we're going to be shifting it out to the right predominantly to be creative? I guess so, because... if Werner's playing on the left, he can create chances, but he's better at finishing those chances. And Pulisic also, if he plays out on the left, he's fantastic at finishing those chances and he creates sometimes, but he won't create what Reece and Ziyech will do. So how do you think that'll play out?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jay. There could be a bit of a balance or a bit of an imbalance in the creativity of Chelsea. But I think the one thing that makes Ziyech a good player and some of the attributes that he has is how good he is at switching the play, and having an inverted winger is something that Chelsea haven't had for a long time. Like you can think Willian that's played on the right for a long time, he's right footed. And a lot of the time it's knock the ball to the byline, outpace the defender, try to get a cross in, whereas Ziyech can cut in and shoot. And I think the one thing that helps for that imbalance is that Ziyech shoots a lot out of the five top leagues in Europe. The only player that shoots more, he shoots about five times per 90 minutes. The only player that averages more than that is Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think that's something that will help and something that we haven't had in the past. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's a potential that with James and Ziyech on the right, a lot of that attacking output goes through the right.
Fair enough. Nice analysis on that one. Con, this is your love child. I remember battling you on the timeline for this one. So I know it's probably going to be a 10 out of 10, but what do you think of this Ziyech signing?
Yeah, for me, it's a 10 out of 10. I love Ziyech. I love what he's about. I remember before we played Ajax the first time, and I was like, this guy is he's an unreal baller. And I've kept on that for a long time. And when Chelsea signed him, I was so surprised anyone, like Aiden said, I was so surprised. I didn't expect it, but it's going with that pattern Frank likes players that has played against Chelsea. And obviously, Ziyech in both games was very good against us. Even the 1-0 win at Amsterdam, he was very good, Ziyech. And like Aiden said, he's kind of spot on with it. Chelsea have been missing a player like Ziyech for a long time, especially a left-footed right winger. That's, for me, massive. And I don't really see the problem with Reece James and Ziyech down the right, because both can cut in and both can go to the byline. I know Ziyech has got the reputation for his left foot, but his right foot is just as good. I think he's a bit slept on. Like Aiden said as well, shoots a lot per game. Sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes I feel we don't take enough shots in the game. Nobody pulls their head up. So I think it's something we're missing, that player who will take the risk. And when you've got, I don't know, the creativity of Ziyech, he can see a pass wherever. And I think players like Werner, who will be on the left, Pulisic, they'll benefit massively from it. Because the two times we played Ajax, you see that ball to Princey Promise twice. I don't even think the first one was offside, to be honest, but his timing is impeccable as well, that ball. He always hits it at a perfect second. And I don't know, I think Aiden was hard giving him an 8. Because Tom, I think
we get it, mate. I think we get it.
Bringing like a player of his age into this young team is needed. It's all good selling younger, signing younger players all the time, but we need that bit of experience as well. And being from the Dutch league could be a bit of a risk, but we've seen players like Suarez, like Aiden did. A lot of people didn't even realise who Suarez was when he came to the Premier and tore it up. I think Ziyech as well, his work rate is not really spoken about. So on the press, he'll be very good. He covers a lot of ground in game. So he'll fit Frank's system to a T, I feel. And I'm really excited to see him in the Prem. I think he's going to be a big, big player for Chelsea this season.
Yeah. Definitely 100%. I can tell from the way you almost touched off to him while talking about him. But yeah, like you and I did both said, we're not expecting Chelsea to actually make this signing at all. And another signing nobody was actually expecting, because I remember a lot of news was going out about Moussa Dembele. I'm not even going to lie, you can go check the receipts. I was one of the people that wanted Werner from the start, and everybody was just like, oh no, he's not really going to fit in. We're going to talk about how all these players are going to fit in properly later on. But another person who's basically confirmed at this point, Fabrizio Romano, all we're waiting for is that here we go. Once we get that, obviously we know the signing's completed. And it caught every single one of us by surprise. All the people that are always in the know, nobody really saw this coming. Chelsea moving in the shadows. So, Jay, I'll start off with you and really quickly as well, because I don't want to waste too much time on this. I want you to rate the Werner signing out of 10.
Okay, well, I will be as quick as I can. But firstly, I think one point that I would like to touch on with Ziyech that the other two boys didn't mention is that what I think he will bring a massive amount of qualities from dead ball situations as well. And I think Alonso's great. Willian is not, he's all right. He's not great, but I think Ziyech off a dead ball is going to really change the way we play. And I think Tammy will benefit. I think everyone will benefit around him. With Werner, I mean, I'm trying not to get too excited because it's not been announced. But if we can sign Werner, again, I think that's probably a 9 out of 10 signing on the face of it, because he probably is the best young striker in the world if you exclude Mbappe. I think he's probably better than Haaland at the moment, because this is now his second season really killing it. And his numbers this season are actually a joke. He does everything. And I think whilst it's hard initially to see how he might fit in, we've had this discussion before and I've spoken about it on other podcasts as well, is that when he plays at Leipzig, obviously he's got the benefit of playing with Yusuf Poulsen, who's a big, I think he's 6'4", he's comfortable bringing the ball down, he's comfortable distributing small passes out, and Werner is as soon as he gets the ball, he's lightning fast and he's off. I think Giroud will help Tammy learn to hold the ball, and Tammy will fill out. You can see pictures of him in training, he already looks stronger. And I think that sort of relationship might be something that Chelsea could definitely experiment with in pre-season. I'd like to see a two up top little rotation. I think that'd be great. And I think the Werner signing is probably a 9 out of 10, because the Bundesliga is a good league. Nagelsmann is a fantastic manager. And he's also done really well in the Champions League, which is why Ziyech's so appealing as well, because of Champions League performances.
Yeah. I agree with all that. I mean, but also, I don't know, throw this back to you. Obviously, you give us your rating for Werner as well, but do you agree with Jay's sentence with regards to Werner being better than Haaland, basically being one of the best strikers, young strikers in the world? He's 24, mind you. Be one of the best young strikers in the world, bar Mbappe.
Yeah, I agree with Jay. It's probably one of the best strikers around. I think for me, it's probably an 8 or a 9 out of 10. And I say that I think it's a little bit better than the Ziyech shining for that reason, and that he's probably one of the most unique strikers out there at the moment that Chelsea could go after. And the fact that they're able to pick him up while teams like Liverpool are in the mix and interested, it's a statement signing that says a lot about what Chelsea's pull power is at the moment. On the Haaland comparison, I don't agree. I think Haaland's probably one of the best strikers out there right now. The fact that he bangs in those goals at 19 years old. The thing about Werner is that he's a bit of a late bloomer. He's played a lot of football at age 24 already, and his goal scoring is good, but he's been a slow starter, and he's got a lot of experience. Like most strikers at age 24, except for Aguero, like you can look at Harry Kane, didn't have the amount of playing time. Like this, he's been starting seasons for the past three or four seasons, whereas most players don't really get to that level. You can think of like a Rashford or an Aguero are the two exceptions, but he's incredibly experienced in the Bundesliga. But I think Werner will have a tougher time than Ziyech in the Premier League. I think Ziyech, he'll transition really smoothly and really well. He's a player that I think defenders will have a lot of problems with. But I think the profile of player is something that, like, a pacey striker isn't something that we've seen really work out in the Premier League. Like, if I'm looking across the top five teams over the past five or six seasons, we've never really had like an out-and-out pacey striker that's done really well. It's usually a combination. Yeah, Aubameyang is an exception. Again, like coming from the Bundesliga is the same thing. And the counter-argument I'll make for Aubameyang is that Aubameyang has had probably five or six seasons where he's banged in 30 consecutive goals. He's a much, much more experienced player than Werner is. I don't know how quickly he'll be able to transition, but I think in a Chelsea shirt, Ziyech will have an easier time than Werner will. And on that note, I think Chelsea's formation fits Ziyech better than it does Werner. I think as a second striker formation, we haven't really had that in a couple years since then, probably Anelka and Drogba. So it'll be interesting to see the way Werner fits. If he goes to the wing, how that will, like how he'll be able to link up with Tammy and things like that, and what the formation will be going forward.
Oh, fair point on that. Fair. So, Con, what do you think of this signing? Because obviously, like I said early on before we actually started recording, I saw all the Moussa Dembele slander from your accounts, and you just seem to keep taking W's, my friend. So, what's this saying with the Werner signing?
Werner was someone I wanted, if you look. It's someone I did like. I don't know why everyone's comparing him to strikers, because to me, he's more like a human song than he is like a Jamie Vardy. Ooh, I see him playing as I see him playing as like an inside forward. I think he will do really well in the Prem, really well in the Prem, because he's not going to be that lone striker. He's going to be someone who feeds off the striker. And in Tammy, we have someone who's learning his build up very well. He can link up, play very well, Tammy. Not as great as in the air as someone like Shiru, but he'll get there. He'll get there. Aiden is right, he's a late bloomer. He's been playing a lot of football. I think people don't realise he has played a lot of football. And something we're going to have to be prepared to like take with Ziyech as well is what Werner takes a lot of shots and doesn't score. On average, he takes nearly four shots per game. And if we've watched any Leipzig this season, you'll see he does miss a fair few chances. But unlike someone like a Morata, etc., he never puts his head down. His head's always up. And he keeps going and going and going until he gets that goal, he gets that assist. And that's what I like about Werner. So when he comes to the Prem, I see him a lot more like a Song than like an Aubameyang. I don't see him playing up top for Chelsea, only on a rare occasion if we're like playing in Liverpool or City and we want to play on the counter. Otherwise, I just see him playing on that left, cutting inside. Why? I'll maybe Chilwell, that's who we're linked to, or even Alonso just shoots down. And he's just cutting in. Well,
that's
I feel
really
I
interesting.
More than
that's really Emerson, yeah. I think that's really interesting, Con, as well. What do you think about Lampard's pulling power? Because I've been quite surprised about at the level of signing, because both you and Aiden said about Ziyech being quite a surprise. I think we were all surprised because we weren't expecting someone of such quality to join. And Lampard seems very very strong-willed in his opinions of players, and he seems to demand the respect of the hierarchy as well in terms of achieving those targets. So why do you think Lampard in particular is able to pull these players that clubs such as Real Madrid, Barcelona, Liverpool are all targeting?
I agree. I'm surprised he's pulling power, but if you really think about it, we shouldn't be, because who Frank Lampard was. I know people say, oh, Gerrard was better, Scholes was better, but if you really think about it, Lampard was one of the best midfielders in that generation he played in. And it's kind of like Zidane at Madrid. Like, regardless of situation at the club, you get that level of respect from a player. So the players like Fernand, players like Ziyech, they would have watched Lampard growing up. They know who Lampard is. And Lampard's a great talker as well. Like, we've seen it in press conferences after games. He's a great talker. So, and he's a smart guy as well. Is it like nearly genius IQ? So he's a smart guy as well. And the project at Chelsea is exciting. We've got the likes of Tammy, Reece, Mount. We've got a very young squad that's very promising. So, and we're London as well, so it's an attractive place. Like, I know Liverpool were in for Werner, and if they committed the money, they would probably got him. But if I'm Werner, I'd rather live in London than in Liverpool. No offence, but I just would. So,
Yeah, definitely.
But Lampard, I think he gets it because who he was. And any player who's playing right now would have watched Lampard and respect him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think I agree with something. I feel the same. Do you feel the same as Con in terms of Lampard's pulling power and just because the respect he has as a player, he's able to get these new exciting players to join this project?
Yeah, I mean, Lampard was a Ronaldinho away from a Ballon d'Or. I think people kind of forget sometimes, you know, in like this current day and age, people, they talk about some story about how Paul Scholes hit a tree from 50 yards away because Ronaldo asked him, you know, and then apparently that like means something. I don't know. But yeah, I think Lampard was one of the best midfielders in that generation. I think if you just look at any of the World Cups, it's Frank Lampard in that midfield that is the player that the commentators are talking about, the analysts are talking about, whoever it may be. And I think Con makes a good point. He speaks very well, and he has a good vision for this Chelsea team. London's a pull factor. It surprised me just because I think, like in the past 5 years, Chelsea have had some of the worst signings we've seen in the Premier League. You can think of all the flops that we've had in recent history. So I think for that, it's been surprising. But Lampard's pull power isn't surprising to me. I always thought it would be something that would be attractive. And I think the parallel to Zidane at Madrid is another good, it's a good example. Like Hazard went to Madrid for Zinedine Zidane. It doesn't surprise me that some players are interested in working with Frank Lampard.
Yeah, can I just add another little comment? I feel like with Frank Lampard, it's because who he is, the players will at least have the conversation with him. He's earned that respect. So regardless, they might not even want to join Chelsea, but they'll have the conversation because it's Lampard. And with Lampard being that good of a talker and the project Chelsea have right now, I think that's what's convincing players.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, you guys have actually just... I mean, I don't even have to say much about this anymore. You guys have hit the nail on the head with this one. So we'll actually be moving on to my next question. So... now we've actually more or less, we've gotten Ziyech 100%. Werner, people still have their doubts, but I mean, I'm telling you that we've gotten Werner. Basically, we've already gotten him. Now, I want to find out what other positions do you guys think we should be sorting out at this point in time with the two signings we've already made? Obviously, Chelsea are in really serious talks with Leverkusen now over Kai Havertz. I mean, I'd absolutely love to sign him, but as we've noticed with these past two players, we haven't, it's not an easy slot in for either of those people. So, same sort of thing comes with Havertz. Like, where are we really going to put him if we do end up getting him out? What other positions do you think we should be getting? Because obviously we've been linked with Chilwell, and today it was just confirmed that, not confirmed, but it's been reported that Leicester has brought down the asking price by 20 million to 50 million pounds. So what other positions do you guys think we should sign? Like, what other positions do you think we should go for? Because obviously everybody wanted us to replace the keeper early on, but now things have changed because of the signings we're making. So Aiden, I'll start off with you.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are pretty good to go in the midfield and forward positions. I think defense and probably everyone's favorite position, goal, is probably some of the biggest problems Chelsea are going to have going forward. I think if there's an area that needs to be focused on, it's probably center back and left back. I think Chelsea aren't going to go out and sink another 50 million on another goalkeeper after getting Kepa on that big fee. So I think we're kind of stuck with the goalkeeping option that we have at the moment, however you feel about that. But I think it's left back and center back are the two big options. I think if you look at our center back pairings, Chelsea don't have a best center back. Everybody argues about who the best center back is. And I think if you look at clubs all across the world, there's usually never a debate because it's pretty easy to know who your best defender is. But at Chelsea, no one really knows who our best center back is. Like, I think honestly, you could throw Reece James in at center back and he'd have a chance at being the best. So I don't know. I think for me, it's center back and left back. And among the left back options, I don't like Ben Chilwell. I don't like Alex Telles, but I would take Tagliafico in a heartbeat.
Is there a reason why?
Chilwell, for a few reasons. The fee is one. I think a £70 million fee for a player like Chilwell is unnecessary. I think Chilwell is a player who's really good at defending and not so good at ball retention. And I don't think that's necessarily what Chelsea really need from a left back. I don't think they need a hard tackler and someone who just bombs down the wing. I like his energy. That's something that these young English fullbacks have a lot of. They run up and down the wing all game long, which is great. But I think a player like Tagliafico is something that suits Chelsea more from an attacking standpoint. He's able to keep the ball. And I think the new system that Lampard wants is one that is fluid in from both your goalie to your forward. And Ben Chilwell isn't a player that I would want for £70 million sitting in that left back role. I'd prefer a Tagliafico for, say, a £20-25 million fee, and then potentially think about transitioning an academy player into that role. I think fullbacks are an interesting position because they don't necessarily have the biggest role on the pitch, but if they're terrible and they have a lot of weaknesses, then they can really affect you. So I think a player that is just overall an all-arounder is better than someone who's a specialist in one area. And I see Ben Chilwell as a specialist in one area, and I see Tagliafico as an all-around good left back.
That's a very interesting perspective to look at things from, you know. Con, do you agree with Aydin?
To an extent. I don't mind Chilwell, actually. I think he's a lot better than what people give him credit for. I watched Leicester heavy at the start of the season, and he was one of the standouts. I think a lot of people watch the Man City game and they're like, oh, okay, this guy's not it. But Riyad Mahrez spins most fullbacks, let's be real, and Chilwell's only 22. I agree, though. 70 mil, anywhere near that, it's just ridiculous. Like, for a left-back like of Chilwell's quality, it's ridiculous. When you've got Tagliafico for, what, around 25, it makes no sense to me. I'd take a Telles because how good he is going forward. But I think the best bet would be a Tagliafico for left back because he's all round, like Aiden said, he's all round the best. And he's really aggressive and a bit of a dickhead. And I like that about him. Chelsea missed that sort of like that sort of personality. But I like him. That's what I like about him. He's a bit nasty. He will leave one on the player. Like, and Chelsea need that at times. Another position, yeah, would be centre back. And Aiden hit the nail on the head. You can look at every centre back we have and you can't say that one there is our standout. Like, Suma's best in the air. Christensen's the best on the ball. Leader, Rudiger's the biggest personality. Like, none of them really, like, if I was Frank Lampard, I'd be having a hard time putting two together every week because they all have weaknesses and none of them really balance. When you watch them play together, there's not a good balance. I think the best one we saw was Tomori and Suma. And he changed that to Rudiger and AC, Rudiger, Tomori, Rudiger, Suma. So I think he trusts Rudiger a lot. But Ademir for me, from Juventus, solid. So Inku from Leicester would be solid too. Even a Thiago Silva on the free for one season, I don't think will be too bad. The level of experience he'd bring would be fantastic, I feel. And for free, you're not hurting the wallet too much. Keeper, I have to disagree with Aiden there. I like Kepa a lot. I think
we
he
knew
had
that
a bad
one was
season.
Coming. We knew that one was coming.
He had a bad season. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. He had a bad season, but so did a lot of other players. And I feel for the fee we paid for him and how good his first season was, I think he deserves one more season. if he has another bad season next season, that's it. I'm not going to defend him anymore. I like him, but I'm not going to defend him anymore. But keeper for now, I don't think we need to touch.
You heard it here first.
And maybe another midfielder, depending if Jorginho leaves, because there's been rumours about him, Juventus, Sarri. And I wouldn't be surprised, because I'm a big fan of Jorginho. And he's very underappreciated here, which is sad to see.
Yeah.
And if he moves to Juventus and he gets the appreciations he deserves, then I'll be happy for him. Mm. So maybe another midfielder, but depends.
Fair enough. So, Jay, do you agree with what Aydin and Con have said with regards to the actual position? So, like, the centre-back, the left-back, do you think we need to keep the keeper or not? Do you agree with all these things?
I'll be as quick as I can. I think it's painfully obvious that we need a left-back and a standout centre-back. That's why I was excited to get Con on, because I do back Kepa as well for one more season. I think just because if with the investment you make, just stick with it. Because do you know what? If he has a season that is maybe 70% as good as what his first season was, you'll be able to sell him for double what you could get for him now. I think because his stock is so low, especially how much, like, he takes pelters online, he takes pelters in the media. I think he is good. I think he's a real confidence player, and I really hope Lampard can get him on side, because when he does perform well, he's really good. And I think, let's just give him one more season, and I'll be the same as Con there. I think if he has another really poor season, because he has had a shocker this season, you can't defend him anymore. I love the shout of Thiago Silva on a free, maybe, because it's really interesting. I think that's really smart. Left back, I have no major issue with Ben Chilwell, apart from the price. I think the price is a joke. But young English players, it's always the case. Taliafico,
yeah.
Everyone's spot on. I mean, he's great. I think it probably helps Ziyech slightly. I think having that player that's a bit more aggressive, a bit more nasty, has always done Chelsea well. We've had Costa, Ramirez, countless other players that have been able to just leave one on. But I have actually spoken before, and it depends how the market's going to be post sort of coronavirus, really, because even players like Wan-Bissaka, they're going to be available on a free from PSG in the summer. And when I've seen PSG play, such as the games against Dortmund in the Champions League, I was thoroughly impressed with him. He seriously stood out on a pitch that's full of talent, and that might not be the worst investment, just to get him in on a free, because it doesn't seem like Emerson's going to get a chance, and Alonso, just, he's got to go. Because I mean, I would keep Alonso over Emerson, but I think they're both going to go eventually, and getting Bernat in on a free isn't maybe the worst shout. He's what, 27 28? He's got a lot of experience at Bayern Munich and PSG, so there are smart ways you can go about this. Especially if you're trying to be slightly more careful with the funds available over the next season, two seasons, because we've all seen recently that this is a 3-year project. So some money's going to be spaced out over that 3-year period. So there are places where you're going to have to be a bit more shrewd. But yeah, I think left back and centre back is really obvious. But I'd love to see Tomori nail down a spot at the back, because I think he could be great. I really, really like Tomori, and I like seeing him succeed. It's just hard being a really young centre-back for a top team, because when you make mistakes, chances are they're going to be very costly, and young players make mistakes, don't they? So it's whether he can just make sure he keeps his head above water, stays focused. Like, Lampard clearly trusts him. He smashed it at Derby. I think he does well when he plays. Maybe having someone like Thiago Silva next to him would just be... You couldn't... That's why midfielders go to play for Lampard, because you can't learn from anyone better, really. So that's a really interesting shout.
Yeah. Very good point to me by all of you. Very, very good point. And with all of that actually being said, I have been seeing some people around with all these interesting transfers taking place, all the names were linked with, beating Liverpool to Werner, all these type of transfers. Do you guys think this could be our best transfer window in a long time? Do you think it could be, has the potential to be one of our best transfer windows since Abramovich actually took over? Aydin, I'll start with you.
Not since Abramovich took over, but I think last window when we signed nobody was probably our best transfer window in the past 5 seasons, just because we've been so terrible over the past 5 years. But yeah, like, this is, it's probably top top three. I think Fabregas and Costa, that season was really good, especially the timing of those deals, like how early they came in was incredible. Same thing here, Ziyech and Werner are coming in early. Early signings are always better. You can adjust quickly. They come into the team. They can get ready for the next season, especially in something like this now that the next season may get delayed. I think that's even more important. But yeah, I think it's one of the best. And one more player, like one key marquee signing could be great. I think the Thiago Silva one, for me, I'm a little against Thiago Silva just because let's say he comes in. He probably comes in for a year, and then after that, he leaves. There's no continuity. There's no investment in another player. It's just kind of wages. It's wages to fill a crack. And I think a club like Chelsea that's interested in building a project should never be in, should never be prioritizing papering over cracks. It should be investing in players for the long term. I think Thiago Silva is great, and maybe for a team like Everton or, you know, top eight teams like United or Arsenal or Spurs, something like that, you know, not the top four teams. They should really stick away from something like someone like Thiago Silva. And I think maybe Soyuncu from Leicester would be a better investment for a center back.
Con, do you agree with what Aiden has said with regards to the transfer window?
Saying like top three, potentially. We'll have to see who he signs.
Since Abramovich took over?
That's why I said potentially, because if we get Havertz, Werner, Ziyech in the same, then that's big. That's massive. I don't agree with the Thiago Silva thing though, because if you look at Chelsea, we're kind of following Liverpool's model of what they did, what Klopp did, with signing the attackers first and getting an attack very, very good. So if we sign Thiago Silva on the free for the 1 year, all right, it's only 1 year, and yeah, like Aiden said, there's a lack of continuity, but we have an experienced centre half when we wasn't prioritising the defence for that transfer window. Which I think it makes sense, because if you look at it, we're after Havertz, we're getting Werner. I don't care what anyone says, we're getting Werner. We've got CH.
Yeah, 100%.
And it looks like a left back. That looks like all we're going to sign. So it's kind of like the Liverpool model in the 3 year thing. And so if we get Thiago Silva on a free, I don't see anything wrong with that, because the window after is when we'll be focusing on defence and we'll be able to sign a centre back for the long term. So I think for a short term sort of fix, he's great. He's great. But everything else Aiden said, that yeah, I agree with. And yeah, it's got massive potential, since the market's going to be lower than the last few years because of the pandemic and the amount of money Chelsea's got to spend. So it's really ours for the taking.
So actually, before we move on to like the next segment of the podcast, I just want to ask you something with regard about what Con said, because Con just said that he brought up a point, and he said that Chelsea's model is kind of similar to what Liverpool are doing. Do you think that's what we're trying to do? Because I don't necessarily agree with what Con has said there, because as far as I'm concerned, I think the whole idea of getting Lampard into the squad was to actually build like a spine of players that would actually be at the club for a very long time. I think the signings we're getting now are sort of, I mean, yeah, Ziyech signing. Ziyech isn't really too long term. I mean, yeah, he's not that old, but he's not that young either. Werner is a bit younger, definitely, and Havertz is younger. But I see Lampard actually building a foundation that can be played around with for the next decade or so. So do you think we're actually trying to copy Liverpool's model, or what do you think of that, basically?
I don't know. I think Liverpool's model has been... I think it's been overrated a little bit. And I think what Liverpool's strength has been more about not the signings, not the ideas behind the signings. Like if you're talking about a foundation or whatever, some spine that you want to build, I think Liverpool's advantage was that they have a really good analytical team. So they're owned by the Fenway Sports Group, and they're run by some of the best football analysts in the world. And like signings like Naby Keita, for example, were made based on some of the analytical decisions that they made in their back room. And that wasn't a signing that everyone thought, oh, this is great, this is going to be a foundational player, like we're going to get a really good attacker. It was just a smart buy. And Liverpool don't have that many transfers where they have really flopped. Chelsea, on the other hand, have, you know, and most teams usually have these big money signings that flop and come in and there's all this excitement. You can think Depay at United just off the top of my head from another team. But I think Liverpool's model was really Jurgen Klopp, his style, then their analytical team coming in and just making smart purchases, and then a little bit of luck that's just gone through the years. I don't really think they've had a model. Like, I think you can look at Salah, Firmino, Mane, whatever you want to call it, and call that a model. But I don't know. For me, they don't really have a model. But I think from Chelsea's side, I think what they are doing is they're trying to build a foundation through the academy players. Like, you can think of Loftus-Cheek, Mason Mount, Hudson-Odoi, players like that. That's the foundation that's coming through the academy. And then they're making marquee signings to fill in the gaps that they don't have players to fill in from the academy. Like, if Khan made a great point about an inside forward for Werner's role, we don't really have that in the academy. So going out and purchasing a player like that is great. Someone made the comment about Ziyech's age. I think that's also important, having academy players and then supplementing that with some older players. So I don't know. I don't think we're really copying Liverpool's model. I don't really think that Liverpool have a model. I don't really like that that's being thrown around throughout the years. I think a team that actually has a model is Man City. And like, we've seen Soriano and Bagir Stein move from Barcelona to set up for Pep Guardiola's arrival like 3 years before he came. And I think that's a true model. Liverpool has really just been Klopp plus analytics.
Yeah, that's bang on, to be fair.
That's actually a very interesting point, yeah.
Liverpool are like a wall made of Lego that each little bit kind of gives... It makes the facade seem like they've got a real model and plan, but they don't. What they do is they've got in a manager who you know historically is going to stay for the long term. And then their analytics department, which is top level, has signed players that match the pressing system, and then everything's come together and built up slowly, and now it looks like they've done everything exceptionally well, which they have done, but I think it fits maybe the manager's style, and I think those things work in conjunction together really well. I think the point about Man City having a true model is bang on, because they've really set up that way. And I think the important thing is with what Lampard's doing is what Aiden touched on is what we've been calling out for, is he's the guy that's going to, he has the strongest bridge between the youth academy and the first team. He's going to, instead of buying like your Zappa Costas and all your other average players, he's going to play players from the academy to fill in the squad roles whilst adding quality players in positions of need. And I think that's what's going to happen moving forward. And we do have some really impressive players out on loan currently that in the next 2, 3, 4 seasons could play really important roles as well. So it's really exciting going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And now, based on what you've actually said, Con, you'll be answering this first. So I'm moving on to like the next segment of the show. And that's, we're going to be talking about the youth players now, because obviously, like you said, Aiden, we have players from the youth, from Cobham, basically, that we're trying to add to this spine, and we're now getting world-class additions to patch up any holes that we can patch up with the academy. So how do you think all these transfers are going to affect like the youth players and their involvement? So what do you think is going to happen to players like Callum Hudson-Odoi and Christian Pulisic that are currently in the first team squad? And what do you think are going to happen to players like Conor Gallagher and Tino that are going to be trying to get into the squad within the next 2 to 3 years? Because obviously, by that time, people would be established within the squad. And I know you always do need replacements, but I'm kind of curious what you think the end product of this is going to be. Because at the end of the day, the loan system, I believe it's getting reduced to 8 players. I think it's getting reduced to 8 players per season. So how do you see this transfer window affecting our structure in the long term? Con, I'll start off with you.
I'm going to bring up a point Aiden made not too long ago, when he was like, we're filling in the gaps kind of thing, something that we haven't got, and we're going to buy big. I think a lot of fans have been calling out to use the youth for a long time, for good reason, because we have one of the best in Europe, not just in England, but in Europe. And the fact that now we're starting to buy the maybe not world class, depends how you see Vernon, etc., but real talented players in positions where we lack. For the youth players themselves, it should boost them. It should boost them, because competitions is always good. In every side you see that does very well in Europe, it doesn't matter if it's City, it's Barca, whoever, there's always good competition, and it's healthy. And I believe playing with good players and training with good players will raise your game more than alone to a dead PL or Championship team, personally. So for Hudson-Odoi and Pulisic, I feel they'll be better than ever. Same with Mount. And I don't see them going. Like, players like Conor Gallagher, etc., with, like you said, the loan system sort of changing, I don't really see him having a future at Chelsea, even though he's a fairly good player. It's just in midfield, we're so stacked, and the level of competition there is very, very heavy. And I just don't think he's going to cut it. But players like Billy look like they're going to get more of a role. And with Lampard, he gives everyone a fair chance. It doesn't matter if he buys you for 70 mil or you came from the academy. If you play well in training, or if you train hard and you play well, you will start. So I think it's only a good thing for the youth.
I do you agree with what Connor's just said there?
Yeah, I do. I love the point about Lampard and the merit. He plays players on merit, and I think that Luiz example, as soon as he joined, was perfect. Didn't like the style, so Luiz is out. Like, I love that about Lampard. The one thing I do see about the youth, though, is some of these players are, I think, gambles in a way. Like, I think if I can compare them this way. If I look at Hudson-Odoi and I look at Jadon Sancho and I try to compare both of those players and I look at which one of those players is a finished product, I think Jadon Sancho is much closer to a finished product than Hudson-Odoi is. Loftus-Cheek as well. Some of the injuries that he's suffered over the past couple months and years, they have kind of stopped him to becoming a full product. And Mason Mount as well. It's just the play time and injury or whatever it may be. For some reason, some of the youth products at Chelsea are not finished yet. They're not polished, whereas some of the other youth in the world is a bit more, they're a bit more polished. Sorry to reuse that word again. But one of the things that I think is risky about this youth system is that if we start buying all these players, like let's say a Kai Havertz, I think it actually puts a big strain on a player like Mason Mount, because then it's even less playing time. And maybe for a player like Mount, with his attitude, he might be able to step it up in training and maybe he'll get that idea. But then it's like, why are we having so many players in the same position fight rather than maybe putting some of those, that competition, and spreading it over the rest of the squad, like the center back area, for example. So I think if, like, Hudson-Odoi and Mount are the two examples. Hudson-Odoi is not a finished product. How is the new signing of Pulisic and Ziyech going to play into his playtime? Where is he going to go? Is Werner going to take that left side? And what happens to Hudson-Odoi? Does his attitude stop him from training? Does he actually become a finished product? I think some of this stuff is good to have a lot of competition, but I'm afraid that a few years from now, we might have some of the failed superstars that we were supposed to have. Like, we were supposed to have this wonderful winger in Hudson-Odoi, and he just never fully materializes. So I think that's one thing I'm a little bit worried about for the youth academy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm actually going to ask you a question with regards to what Aiden has actually just said. So all these players that we've mentioned, at the end of the day, I keep telling people, as I put out a video about this, I think at the start of April or halfway through April. So I was thinking, I was just like, yeah, all these signings need to be made. And I do believe that if you want to bring the best out of someone, you have to give them some good competition. So do you think, obviously, everybody likes new stuff. I don't know anybody that doesn't like getting new things and getting new signings, getting new players, world-class players, or like content, however you want to put it, like these top talents, is obviously very good for the squad. Or is it actually, do you think these signings are as good as they're going to be in the long term, or do you think they're going to be detrimental to the development of the youth players?
Okay, well firstly, Pulisic, I don't really want to put Pulisic in the same category as the other youth players, because one, he's less of a youth player, he's not from our academy, and he's like, in my opinion, I think Pulisic is much better than Hudson-Odoi. I've said this multiple times. I said it on the first podcast I appeared on with Alex and Matisse as well. I think Pulisic looks like he could actually explode. Whereas sometimes I'm still, even though I've seen the data and I've seen the numbers on Hudson-Odoi, is very impressive. For some reason, I just don't get the same feeling when I watch him as I do when I watch Pulisic. And that's something that's typically not the way that I look at players. I like to take a more analytical, statistical-based approach. But when I watch Pulisic, I just think he looks... his attitude and his approach to the game just looks light years ahead of where Hudson-Odoi is at the moment. And I really would like Hudson-Odoi to catch up, but there's a lot of stuff off the pitch that's probably going on at the moment, which obviously we don't need to touch on now, but I'm sure that's going to have some sort of impact along the line. I think in terms of how it's going to benefit young players, I think what it will do is it will be like, it's sifting for gold, really, with bringing in top-class players, because there's at every single club, there's always youth players that are very exciting, and there's some that don't make it necessarily. And that's okay, because do you know what? If Mason Mount, for example, doesn't make it at Chelsea, he's still going to have a great career, and it's really nice to see him flourish. He'll still be a Premier League player. I think he will. I think he will stay at Chelsea. I think he's one of the players that is likely to stay, because if Barkley goes, Mount's still going to be here. I think Lampard really appreciates him as a player. And at every top club, there is a lot of competition in certain areas. There are players that are untouchables, which Chelsea don't really have, and I think that's quite nice. And I think when you look at almost every single other top club, there are maybe one or two players in that side that you know will be there every week, and I don't always know if that's the case at Chelsea, and I think maybe the youth players or the younger players can take a bit of confidence in that. I think if Kante was really up and running, I think he would probably be the one player that's probably always going to start, possibly, or definitely up until Lampard joined. It's a tough one. Kepa's obviously always going to start, really. So there's a lot of competition for places. It's going to be quite healthy. I'm not convinced we're going to sign Havertz. I'd be really surprised if that happens. I don't know why, but I would be quite surprised if that happens. And for players like Gallagher, players like Tino, it is an uphill battle. But do you know what? Playing for Chelsea as a in sort of men's football, we're aiming to be an elite club, and that's just the nature of the beast, I think. And if you can't make it, it's not necessarily the biggest criticism to your personal ability. It's just we are aiming for the cream of the crop, really. And sometimes, yeah. Or actually, the majority of players will never get there. Like 99% of football players will never ever get there. Probably more. It doesn't mean that they're poor football players. Not at all. Players in League Two, players in League One, they're fantastic football players. They just don't quite make the grade. And for Chelsea, that are looking for that top level, we have to accept that certain people we believe in now might not get there in the end.
Yeah, and that's all right. Like I always say, one of my favorite quotes is not necessarily a quote. I can't remember if I picked it up, but I always say, the tough times never last. It's only the top players who last. Do you get what I mean?
Please do the noise. So, please do the noise after it.
Nah, I'm not doing that. I'm never doing that. But yeah, like I said, it's the tough times that last. Like, tough times never last. Only tough people last. So with that being said...
Sorry, David, don't mean to interrupt. Can I ask Aiden a quick question? Just something about you said.
Yeah, go on. Go for it.
So I agreed with everything he said, more or less. But he said about Havertz. He said, why would you sign a player like Havertz when we've got so many spots like to compete with, when we could focus on the centre-back? But when a talent like Havertz comes available, and I mean, not just a good talent, he has the potential to be one of the best. How do you pass up on that?
Yeah, sorry. I think I might have worded that wrong, because I think I agree with you. Havertz is one of my favorite players. And I think if Chelsea get him, that's an 11 out of 10 signing. I think what I meant more was about if Chelsea really believed that their academy products were finished and ready to go and Premier League players, they wouldn't sign players, but they don't believe that. So what ends up happening is that there's going to be some competition and some digging for gold, like Jay said. But in this situation, we don't. Like, Mason Mount isn't a finished product, and he's not someone who's as good as Havertz and probably never will be. No disrespect to Mason Mount, but Havertz is a player that has everything in his game and is one of the biggest talents in Europe right now. See, I don't know. I like Havertz like you do. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, makes more sense.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. But yeah, so now we've gotten all the transfers and stuff done, I actually want to talk about football resuming, because we're recording this on a Friday afternoon, at least for us anyway, down in the UK. We're recording this on a Friday afternoon. And I want to find out from you guys. So obviously, with the season stopping due to the coronavirus and everything, we're going to be starting up football in a couple of days on the 21st for Chelsea. Where do you guys think we're going to be finishing the season based on what's happened? And have your expectations from the start of the season changed? Aiden, I'll start off with you.
I kind of said all season that I think Chelsea are the third best team in the league, and that come May that will be represented in the table. But now that things have gotten stopped, I think it's unprecedented, because we've never really had anything like this before ever in any Premier League season, or at least not that I can remember. So my expectations haven't changed. I still think that Chelsea should finish third, because they are the third best team in the league. But I don't know. Things are completely different now. I mean, Leicester and Wolves are teams that I think have been, like Jay was talking about stats. If we want to talk about a specific stat, which is expected goals, they've really been outperforming their expected goals and their expected points. So I think they're much higher than they should be in the table. So I do think Leicester in third is something that won't be sustainable, especially because they have a pretty difficult schedule going forward. But again, like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, if this just resumes, like Arsenal Man City, that's coming up in a couple of days. Like, is that going to be the regular Arsenal Man City that's going to be, you know, a 5-0 win for City, or is Arsenal going to be able to play for some reason as of some break? Like, I don't know. It's so difficult to predict, especially since training had stopped. Like, there was a point where no Premier League players were training at all. And like, what does the attitude of specific players take them and they go home and they actually train, or do some of them just kind of sit around and whatever? So I don't know. It's difficult. Like, this is something that's never happened before. But I do think that if things are going to resume and be like normal, Chelsea will finish third. They do have a really difficult schedule. Man City, Leicester, Liverpool, West Ham, some of the fixtures that they have to play. But I still think third is a goal that's attainable. It's a goal that they should be going after. And I think that's what Chelsea deserve.
You know, the thing is, I actually agree with what you've said here, because at the end of the day, like you said, Chelsea is the third worst team in the Premier League at the moment. And I think what's actually going to set all the teams apart during this period, because a lot of them are not as fit as they were before the season stopped, is going to be the quality of player we have. Now, obviously, all these youth players we do have are they have a lot of talent, and some of the other players in the squad do as well. So I do believe we're probably going to end up finishing third, like you did say. The FA Cup resuming, I'm still expecting. I mean, I really, like you said, with the coronavirus, it's a bit difficult to tell if certain things are going to pan out the way we're expecting. But I expected Chelsea to win the FA Cup. But then with all that's changed and everything, I don't really see that happening anymore, especially since this is like the first time the players are having to go this long without having any football. So, yeah, that's what I think about the whole thing. Con, have your expectations changed?
My expectations at the start of the season were bad. I thought we was going to finish like 7th or 8th. So as the season's gone on, my expectations have gone higher. But Aiden's right. It's hard to predict. Like, it's nothing like this has ever happened. They haven't been training. There's going to be no fans at stadiums. Like, it's going to be weird for them to play a professional football match with no fans, and in the manner it's going to have to be done. But by watching the Bundesliga and seeing Bayern is still doing very well, Leipzig is doing well, Dortmund are. So you can kind of see that the better teams are still performing. But I think we're kind of blessed that we have one of the youngest average squads. So old players should be fit. Tammy looks a bit more of a beast. So old players haven't been slouches. They've been keeping fit. And I think any professional football player in the Prem has been keeping fit. I think the first game or so might be a bit off. But after that, I think people should be back to where they are. And if they're not, I don't really think they deserve to be playing in the Premier League, to be honest, because this is the best league in the world. But I'm scared for United because they've got Pogba back. And I would be lying if I said I think we're the third best team in the Prem, because I think that's a bit of a stretch. If we're talking about just squad, Spurs and United do compete in terms of squad.
Mm.
And I saw the look on Jay's face there. I saw his face. I saw the look. but if you look at Spurs' team, they've got a fit Harry Kane back now. They've got Son. They've got Lucas. They've got Bergwijn. Their defence has been shaky this season, but they're still solid defenders. Alderweireld, Sanchez, Vertonghen, Lloris. Like, their team's strong. And United, with Bruno Fernandes, we all give him a stick, but he's been a revelation at United. He's sort of gave an uplift. And they're better against the top sides than we are. Like, they get results from top sides. And I fully expect them to beat Spurs on the first game that they're back. So I'm worried. But fourth should at least be the expectation, because I do agree Leicester will slip off. They were slipping off before the break. I think if we noticed, their results weren't really going their way. Wolves, I don't expect to be anywhere near. Sheffield, likewise. Arsenal are dead. They're like Palace level now, so I don't expect them to be anywhere near. But
Jesus Christ.
Just the off chance if Leicester can keep up somewhat of a groove, and United, what are they, 1 point behind us?
Three.
And they've got an easier schedule than us. Like Aiden said, we've got Liverpool, we've got City, we've got Leicester, we've got West Ham, who are annoying to play for us. it's hard. And we're going to, like, I feel like we're kind of blessed to be in fourth because how bad our winter period was. But if we want top four, we got to work for it. And we got to prove that we're good enough to be playing Champions League next season. And I expect us to get fourth minimum, but I'm worried.
Fair enough. I mean, Jay, what do you think of that? Because you don't seem to agree with what you're saying.
Oh, no, I fully agree. I think Man United are a brilliant side, and I think they're underrated, especially on the timeline. Their defence is outstanding. Pogba's one of the best players in the world. I think he's amazing. I think I'm very concerned about Man United because they are one or two players off being serious. But I actually worry less about for Chelsea in big games. I think I'm more concerned about a game against West Ham than I would be against Liverpool. I'm far more concerned about that because we have a tendency to just lose concentration in those games. But in big games, we're up for it. It's just sort of the inherent philosophy of the club that when we're the underdog, we kind of perform better. And Lampard is the physical embodiment of that. And I think that will help the squad. Realistically, we all didn't expect a top four finish. Personally, I didn't think we were going to win a cup either. I'd like a trophy next season, but... You know, I care more about player development than trophies right now because we've won enough in the last 20 years to be quite content for a little bit. And it's time that we just sort of change our priorities a bit. I think as a fan base, we should still be demanding from the players that we compete in every game, that we compete for every trophy, because that's just the nature of a big club. But for me, it's more important to see Billy Gilmore develop massively. It's more important to see Reece James become one of the best right backs in the world. It's more important for me to see all these different players grow into themselves a bit more, and I think Lampard will help with that, and I'm planning on seeing that a bit more. I'm really excited for Pulisic to get a greater run in the side because I absolutely love Pulisic. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful player. I think Leicester are they're not very lucky because they are there, but they are lucky to be in third. If you look at the expected points table that I've seen, they are not third. they've been very lucky because Vardy's been on form, but I think when he's only so long that he can go for, and Didi's also been a really useful player for them. So I'm not sure if Leicester are going to be able to sustain this level of performance in the back end of the season that we have left. I really do think that Man United and Tottenham are going to be the issues. I'm not too fussed about Leicester because Tottenham having Harry Kane and Son and let's not forget Dele Alli's the top scoring midfielder in the Premier League this season. It's really important to remember that this squad is not a bad squad at all. It's just Mourinho. Maybe the wheels are falling off a little bit. You don't know, but I still back Spurs. I still back Spurs to be a decent side and competitive side, nonetheless. Same with Man United. So, I think it's going to be tough. I still think third. I still think we should be in third. By the end of the season, I think that has to be the case because, you know, we're Chelsea Football Club. Look at the targets we're bringing in. I think the confidence is going to be there. There seems to be a great team spirit, great attitude, and the young players. Lampard is a winner. And whilst that might sound a bit cliche, that does go into your players. He's not won much as a manager, but as a player, he's untouchable. And I really hope that translates, and I think it does, to most of the squad, if not all of them by now. Yeah. But quite frankly, even though Man United and Spurs are strong, and I think they are really good sides, I think we just need to keep looking forward and not worry about what's behind us too much and just keep going, and then look back at the end of the season. And I think as fans, we're all quite happy with how it's gone, realistically, even if we were to finish fifth, which would be such a shame, but it's gone so much better than we all expected, I think.
Yeah. Fair points from everyone here. So with all of that being said, this season, we're all interested to see football coming back and everything. But at this very point in time, with all the signings we're making, all the people that are going to be leaving, it's really next season that everybody's really interested about. Obviously, football coming back is very exciting, but I'm kind of curious. Everybody's already starting with their starting 11s for the next season, and people are trying to think of how we're going to fit in Havertz, we're going to fit in Werner, we're going to fit in Ziyech. So I'm going to say, using the players we've signed, including Ziyech and Werner, as well as Havertz, and probably like a left back of your choice, I'd want you guys to give me your starting 11 for the next season, and I'll start off with Aiden.
Okay, that's hard, but I don't know. This is difficult. So, like, let's say I'll just put in some players that I think will be signed, so that will make things a little easier.
Also, so the formation as well.
Sorry?
The formation as well. Oh, yeah, that's well. Interesting one.
Okay, so I'll just say 4-2-3-1 in goal, Kepa. Let's say he has a great season and comes back. Hopefully he does. Let's just hope. Left back, I'd say Tagliafico. Center back, I'd say probably Rudiger and Christensen. I don't know. That's take your pick, whoever goes there. I don't know if it really changes. Right back, Reece James. I think in the midfield pivot, you see N'Golo Kante and Mateo Kovacic. Left side forward, Timo Werner. I think center attacking mid, I just hope it's Kai Havertz. I really do. If not, potentially a Ruben Loftus-Cheek playing at the top of a midfield three. On the right, Hakim Ziyech, and then forward, Tammy. I think that's probably that would be a realistic, hopefully, 11. I don't know.
That has absolutely smashed all the youth players of the setup. But that's the truth of the matter. That's probably what's going to happen with all these people who are signing, because we're not going to leave all of them on the bench. I do know that Lampard is a man of merit, but you're not going to keep £200 million on the bench, are you? So with that being said, Con, do you have something different to what Aiden has said?
I tweeted a few days ago, actually, the 4-3-3 and 4-2-3-1, who I think, and Aiden just said my 4-2-3-1, so I don't have to say that. It's spot on, same as what I thought. But 4-3-3 is very similar. Kepa, Tagliafico or Chilwell, really good at AC. I feel like Lampard will go with them because they're best ball players. Reece in the midfield three, Gilmore or Jorginho at the base. Kovacic on the right, Loftus or Havertz on the left, Werner left wing, Tammy up front, and Ziyech right wing.
Jesus, with all this we're saying, so like, are we all just? I'm going to actually, before I get to you, G, I'm going to throw this back to, because you just seem to be rubbing your temples and just being shocked. That's what you look like, and you're turning red.
No, I'm just trying to think of something a bit more creative, because the boys have smashed it. I've got a chance to think of something a bit different.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to buy some time. I'm going to throw a question at Aiden now. So both of you have put Werner and you've put Ziyech on the wings now. So what does that actually say for Callum Hudson-Odoi and Christian Pulisic? Because obviously, if anything, Pulisic was signed for £60 million and Callum Hudson-Odoi is supposed to be the golden boy of this generation. I mean, I've never been the biggest... I don't hate Hudson-Odoi. I love him, but like, I was never on the hype trade, if that makes any sense. But does this sort of spell the end for them? Just asking. What do you reckon, Aiden?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. I don't know. I think what does it mean? It means they come off the bench. They come off the bench or they play the FA Cup, or I don't know. Because if Timo Werner comes in the squad against most teams, I think he's a better fit than Pulisic or Hudson-Odoi against potentially like a low block team. It's good to have someone like that on the counter or whatever it may be. But I think, again, like what we were talking about before, about like digging for gold, like this is the time. If you're not going to be able to outperform Timo Werner, and Timo Werner genuinely scores, you know, he comes in, let's say he scores a goal a game, we have no reason to play Pulisic or Hudson-Odoi, right? Same thing with Ziyech. Yeah. He's playing amazing. Like, this is the problem with these signings. And I don't know, it's so difficult to see. It's difficult and it's exciting to see like what this team is going to happen, what this team will look like in a year or 2 years or whatever it may be. But I think Chelsea have always had, except under Mourinho, have had a lot of rotation in their squad just because they play so many games. FA Cup, EFL, Champions League, Premier League. It's four different competitions, and I think there's always playing time for players. But I think, like, let's say next season Chelsea finish top four and we make the Champions League. If you're playing a big team in the group stage, I don't think that Pulisic or Hudson-Odoi would start over the players that we've stated, because they don't have Champions League experience. Those other players do. But yeah, it's like so difficult to see what's going to happen. It's a toss up, and I think that's part of what's so exciting about this new Chelsea team. But thank you for your difficult question.
You're very, very welcome. You're very, very welcome. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jay, I think I bought you enough time, my friend. So what is your starting 11 for the next season?
Okay, well, I've tried to be different because I would like to just caveat this with I completely agree with what the boys have said in terms of both of their formations. So I'm just trying to be a bit more creative, a bit different. I'm going to base it off the fact that we won't sign Havertz because I'm still unconvinced. If we sign Havertz, he starts, he plays, there's no question. So I'll go for a 4-1-3-2 and I'll go Kepa, Rhys, maybe Tomori and Zuma. Then I'll chuck Taliafico in. I'm getting head shakes already. I will put Pulisic out on the left. I'll play Kante at the base, Kovacic just in front of him, Ziyech out on the right, and then I'll play Werner and Tammy up top together.
I mean, Con, what do you think of that formation, my friend?
Love you, Jay, bro, but Kante at the base. Come on, man. What are we doing?
I just thought about that, and purely because we're defensively not great, and I think with a lot of attacking players, it might be quite sensible to have him sweeping in front of them, and it might make players like Tomori see it feel a bit more comfortable.
But I'm getting Arsenal, bro, 3-0.
Oh, I've been thrown into the fire. I was trying. I'll back it still. I think we'll try and win games 5-4 instead of winning them 2-0.
First, you can't argue with that logic, can you? Jesus Christ. Nah.
I'm sweating and everything. I was trying to think, but it's just it's just hard, and I can see Aiden in the bottom left just staring at me like you're an idiot. I'm just trying my just want to reiterate again.
Kante at the base would never work.
Con and Aiden have it bang on. I do agree with him. I was just trying to throw something out there a little bit more different.
Fair enough. You know, see, as the host, I don't really want to take up too much time, so I'm not really putting out a formation, you see, so I get to dodge the question. So we shall be moving on to the next question I have for the next season before we go on to the banter segment. So I'm going to be starting off with Con with this one. So basically, we've gone off our expectations for this season. So next season is another thing. What are your expectations for the next season? Because obviously these signings are statement signings and you can't really be like, oh, we're still trying to build something yet. Do you get where I'm coming from? I don't see us having that sort of approach at the start of the next season. So what do you think is going to happen at the start of next season? Like, what are your expectations for the next season based on what based on the signings we're going to be making?
My expectation for next season, comfortable top four. So it's not like this season where it's a question of, I want us to be comfortably the third best team in England. I think that's realistic because when you're bringing in players like Ziyech and Werner and God knows who else, because we're going to bring in another forward by the looks of it, regardless if that's Werner, that's Benarama, we're going to bring in another forward. I want us to be comfortable as the third best team. I don't expect us to be competing with City and Liverpool. Yeah, we can give them a good game, but over the course of the season, I just want us to be recognised as the third best and comfortable top four. And then the season after is to compete in. But I want the new guys just to get comfortable with the squads, comfortable with Lampard. And Lampard, I don't know, because at times you don't really see a style as much, or philosophy, you can say, like you did with like a Sarri or Conte. So for Lampard to work on that some more, Chelsea to be a bit more solid at the back, trying to find which centre-backs are going to stay, which centre-backs are going to go, because we can't keep Tomori, Zuma, AC and Rüdiger for much like another season after that, because that would be just ridiculous. So comfortable third best team in England.
I mean, Aiden, do you agree with do you have the same expectations as Con?
Yeah, I agree. Third best team, make a few cup runs, deep cup runs, and those are my expectations. I don't think we'll be able to compete with City and Liverpool just yet.
Fair enough. Jay?
Same goes, man. Same goes as the boys. I think as long as we see development of the players and development of Lampard's style and philosophy, I think we'll all be quite happy. I think it's nice to see that fans are a bit more unified than they have been previously, even though obviously all of us spend time on Twitter and antagonise people occasionally, and we know that everyone has different opinions, but that's fine. I think in general the fan base is unified in the sense that we know what's happening. It's nice that there's a bit of transparency from the management and the hierarchy a bit more than maybe what we're used to. We kind of know what's going on to some extent, not necessarily all the time. But putting some distance between fourth and below would be great to be comfortably top three. But I think that is going to be, I think that is going to be quite tough. I think next season is going to be very, very traditional top four race. I think it will be United, us, City, and Liverpool. I think it'll be those four teams that distance themselves from everyone else rather than three teams that distance themselves because. Like I said earlier, I think Manchester United are maybe one or two players away from really being a dangerous side. And if they decide to change manager, it could be a real different story. So I think in my head, maybe it's a bit more realistic to think that there's going to be four teams that distance themselves from everyone else and then three necessarily. And I think the ones behind will probably be Spurs. And I think Everton will probably be quite strong as well next season. But I think it's just about staying with the front runners and looking like we belong there as well. There are certain times, especially against bigger teams, where we just don't even look like we belong on the same pitch, and I don't rate that. And I want to see us when we play City, when we play those teams, we look like we belong there. We look comfortable. We look assured. You know, when we play Bayern Munich, I know personally, I think Bayern Munich probably the best team in the world right now, but. You know, the gulf in quality is just crazy, and I would like us to look a bit more confident, assured, head up, shoulders back. Let's make sure we're always competing. We're always gonna just go for it and not get outclassed the whole time. I think I'll be quite happy with those kind of changes, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, like, I agree.
It was a bit waffly. I understand that was a bit waffly, but I got there.
Yeah. I get what you guys are saying, definitely. But, like, I want us to have trophy next season because these are young players, okay? And we need to get that winning mentality into their bloodstream as early as possible. I don't give a damn if it's the League Cup. I don't give a damn if it's the FA Cup. If it's the Premier League, that's probably not going to happen. But God knows, I might have run naked around Stamford Bridge if that happens. But, like, No one quote me on that. But we need to win a trophy next season. I think it's very, very important. No matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, we need to be winning at least one thing so that the youth players can understand what it means to win a trophy. Because Lampard, I mean, he started off winning trophies at a very young age on the top level and everything. So we just need to make sure we get that inbred to them very, very early. So, yeah, that's pretty much
I agree with that. Hold on. If you don't mind me, Dammy. If you don't mind me jumping in there, though, just very, very quickly, I think it's important that we win trophies, but I don't think it's necessarily true that it's just young players that you have to win young to develop that mentality. I don't think that's always the case. Look, like
that's what I said. I feel like we need
to develop. Yeah, of course. But Puyol didn't win a trophy before he was 27, and then he won, what, 24, 30 by the time he was like 35. So it takes. I know that's an exception. I know there's been a lot of great managers in there, but you don't necessarily need to win super early. But I do agree with you that it would be great for the club and the players if you were to win an FA Cup or a League Cup next season.
Sorry, can I just butt in with a point as well? I kind of see what Dami's saying, though. It's like maybe just winning like an FA Cup or a League Cup. It's like an addiction, isn't it? It's like, oh, we've won this, but I want more. And a cup like that is going to be like, oh, we've won something, so we're down tools. So they'll be like, I want more. It's like when people start winning, that Mourinho's a prime example. When he first won and when he was at Porto, he wanted to keep winning and winning. And he did it at Chelsea, goes to Inter, he does it at Inter, he goes to Real Madrid, he comes back to Chelsea. Like that winning mentality, it can't be brought in. It's only brought by winning stuff. So I see what Dami's saying.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I just don't think it's the priority for me next year. I don't think it's my number one priority. I think because the players are so young, like Gilmore's only 18. You've got three seasons and then he's still 21. And we're lucky to have a little bit more time than other clubs in terms of developing that winning mentality. But if we were to win, the FA Cup would be the one, I think, next season. If we were to win that, I think it would just be outstanding.
All right, fair enough. That's all that has to be said with regards to that. So now, before we finally end on the podcast, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be doing the banter segments, my favorite segment of this podcast. Now, Aydin and Con, I must be very, very honest with you guys. digging for your tweets was ridiculously difficult. Like, I must confess, like, I spent hours digging for horrendous tweets, and I didn't actually get the chance to find horrendous tweets. But I do have two questionable tweets at the, like, obviously back then they might not have been too questionable. I do have two questionable tweets that you guys did put out a couple of months ago. So, Con, I'm going to start off with you first, mate. Do you remember anything you tweeted August 11th, 2019?
No, go on, hit me with it.
I'm not expecting you to at all, mate. But basically, what's going to happen here is I'm going to say it out, and then I'm going to let Aiden and maybe Jay talk about it real quick. And then you just basically defend the point. It's not even a bad tweet per se, but in the context of things now, it just seems extremely stupid. I must be frank with you. But obviously, you can't look into the future, can you? So, Con, you used to have the same energy when you said, next summer, you better spend £500 million during the transfer window. Aiden, what are your thoughts on that tweet?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know, maybe he's right. If we get Sancho, Havertz, Werner, and all those guys, that adds up to about 500.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. What was the thought process when you put that out, my friend?
So I think, if I'm not wrong, that's when we knew that we wasn't going to appeal. And I was looking at the squad, and I was like, we've lost Hazard. Great, we got Willian at 10. That's my dream, my idolo at 10. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I was like, it's an exaggeration, obviously, isn't it? But I think the point of the tweet was like, if we're not going to spend this summer, I want big next summer. And it looks like we're getting that. So, you know, it's not as bad as you say, Dami. Just a bit exaggerated, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely clutching at straw for that one, I must be honest with you. But the second one, oh, you have to do a bit of talking, my friend. On August 14th, 2019, you said the difference that N'Golo Kante brings to this Chelsea team is absolutely ridiculous. And he is the best midfielder in the world, and it's not even up for debate. Do you still keep the same energy with regards to that tweet?
I don't know what I was talking about. De Bruyne is the best midfielder in the world. if we're talking just about midfielder, he's the best midfielder in the world. But Kante in the right system is the best defensive-minded the player in the world, 100%. I keep that energy in the right system. He is. You see, for France, he finally unlocked. Yeah, with my fingers, I'm doing the little quotations. I see unlocked Pogba, one of the better players. And for Leicester and under Conte, he was absolutely unreal. Absolutely, no one competed with him. Like, people talk about Ndidi, etc., like during this season, because Kante's playing in like, and last season as well, Kante's playing systems he's not particularly, I don't know, best suited to him. But if his formation's best suited to him and he's fit and running, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. And anyone who disagrees with that, I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, to be very honest, like I said, I was clutching at straws. I think Aiden's a bit worse, to be fair. But Aiden, I saw you shrugging your shoulders. Do you still think Kante is the best midfielder in the world at this point in time?
I mean, I keep that energy with Khan. I mean, in a defensive system, defensive-minded system, he's one of the best in the world, absolutely. He's not going to do what De Bruyne does on a weekly basis going forward. But in defense, I think Kante is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's bang on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Now, Aiden, once again, like, you guys actually, I've had on Simon Phillips, I've had on Yannick, I've had Elizabeth, I've put so many people on this, and it was difficult to find stuff because you all put out fantastic opinions and everything, but Jesus Christ, to actually get this stuff. So these two actually, at the moment, and I was, when you were talking about the defenders and everything, I was actually listening to you, and I was like, on November 27th of 2019, I didn't have the same energy.
I know what I said.
Because he was what?
I didn't know what I said.
Can you take a guess what you said?
It was Christensen, is that what it is?
Yes. Chelsea's best centre back when he's on form. Glad to see AC27. Do you still hold that? Do you think about that?
I actually made a mistake. He's not. He doesn't even wear 27. He wears 4, so it was the wrong number. It's AC4, not 27. At the time, it was a little bit closer to when he was pretty good on the ball, and like it was close enough to that Barcelona performance where he just like completely fell off. I still remember like the good times, but I don't know. I think Christensen for me is a player that failed with all of his potential. He was so good and could have been so good on the ball and was this player that I thought was going to be like a new generation of center back. And he just never got up to that level. He was performing really, really consistently in under Conte and then just completely fell off. So I don't know. I don't really keep that energy anymore. And I think, yeah, if we can get rid of Christensen, I actually wouldn't mind. That's one of the academy products that I wouldn't mind getting rid of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just invite that? Aiden, how did you get it so right and then go so wrong? Like, I get AC's like not this physical defender and all that, but he's the only one from our defenders who's very comfortable on the ball. I'm not talking about comfortable, he's very comfortable on the ball. If you partner AC with the right centre back, this guy will be amazing.
He's a system player in the sense that way Kante is. I think if you were to put AC in a different system under a different manager, it'd be a completely different story.
But right now,
it's maybe not the case. And also, I think if you were to sell him, you'd get a decent amount for him.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's going to flourish somewhere else. But I don't think he's going to be able to do that at Chelsea. And I don't know if they're going to make that call and put him in that system to try to complement his strengths or whatever it may be. I think it's one of the players that just gets sold on. But yeah, it sucks because I actually really like Christensen. And I like the fact that he's so comfortable on the ball, and it was nice to see him playing with Jorginho or someone like that. And it was pretty nice to watch, but I don't know. I think that's one player that I've kind of given up on.
Personally, I feel like it's AC or Tomori, and I'm more on Tomori's side than AC. I think it'll either be one of them two who goes. It would be Rudiger or Suma. I think Rudiger signed a new contract, so it's probably Suma. So I imagine Rudiger and Tomori staying, and AC and Suma potentially leaving.
Oh, you think Tomori's going to leave? That's crazy.
No, not Tomori. I meant AC and Suma. Geez. Amy and Suma. Sorry, my bad.
Fair enough. So now this second tweet, like I said, I was actually clutching at straws when I pulled out these tweets, because fair play to you guys. You actually pulled out some solid stuff. This one, I do actually, so at the time, I also agreed with this, but in hindsight, I swear to God, I hope Mediano's listening to this podcast. I don't think it panned out as well expected, but I want to find out if you still hold the same energy for this as well. He put out this tweet on November 23rd, 2019. Does that ring a bell?
November 23rd. This is the same time as the Christensen one, 4 days before. I don't know. No, I don't remember. Who's it about? If you tell me, I might be able to guess.
Jorginho and Kovacic.
Jorginho or Kovacic? I probably said Jorginho over Kovacic. And I probably said Kovacic wasn't very good. Like, I was probably wrong about that.
No, you said, and I quote, "Jorginho and Kovacic are an absolute pleasure to watch, becoming one of my all-time Chelsea midfield partnerships." You used to hold that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Really?
I'll tell you why. I didn't say the best. I said my favorite. That's the thing. Like, if you want to compare, you know, Essien, Balak, and Lampard, that's probably the best midfield partnership. But, I mean, they're a joy to watch. They understand each other so well, and they move so well off the ball for each other.
So would you take that into the next season?
Oh, okay. That's a different question. No, I don't know. The thing about Jorginho is I think he's also a system player, and I think Chelsea are running out of time to use these system players, and there's a new generation coming in. Like, Havertz is a perfect example of a player who's like an anti-system player. He like creates his own role in any formation or any team that he plays, and I think players like Mason Mount, players like Loftus-Cheek, they kind of do the same thing, and same with Kovacic. He can adapt to many roles, and I think going forward that's what Chelsea are going to do. So I think I don't see Jorginho, even though he's probably my favorite player at Chelsea right now, I don't see him featuring for Chelsea going forward, unfortunately.
Yeah, same. I actually put out something related to that a few days ago. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I mean, I've been driving Jorginho. That's what brought my account out of the darkness. Driving that Jorginho train, you know, I've been on it since. But if all being realistic, his days are numbered. His days are definitely numbered. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the banter segment as far as your tweets are concerned. Sorry, Dami. You guys,
butt in quickly. So, since Dami did a little digging on us, I thought it's only fair that we share the same energy.
Oh, so, you are my...
So, he was like, this is most arguably the most electric, dynamic, and complete midfield in the league. It's Kante, Jorginho, and Loftus-Cheek. What about the player you claim, Dami, is our player of the season, Kovacic? Where's he in this midfield? If this is the most complete midfield in the league, where's Kovacic?
Okay.
Silence. Silence.
Con, you're actually a dickhead, mate. I can't lie to you. But honestly, yeah.
I try to find Jay, but Jay's too hard. He puts out some good stuff.
Oh, Con, nah, you're a legend, bro. Nah. You're an actual legend. This is my guy. This is what I'm saying. It's the Pulisic and the Kepa love. That's the team. That's the side bet.
Yeah, you know the thing with that tweet, if you actually scroll down further, I've actually posted that exact tweet before with the change up in wording. It was a bet we had in the group chat. I made me put put that tweet up. So yeah, I didn't, if you look in the comments, you saw me back in Kovacic. So yeah, I do not think that is our best midfield by any chance whatsoever. So yeah, mate. It was a dodgy tweet, definitely. But for anyone that didn't have a backstory, it's a bit of a madness, definitely. Nice one, you got me there. Jesus. It's not classic. I've got to delete that now and block him off.
Pretty good in general, though, from everyone. Like, not too controversial. Yeah, it's not too controversial from anyone. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect, perfect. So before we round off and like sign off now, Aiden, since this is your first one podcast, I just want to ask you a bit about yourself. Just let the listeners know, like, a bit about yourself and what you do, and like where you live, stuff like that, whatever you want to share.
Yes. Wait, sorry. What are the questions again? You cut out.
Basically, I'm just saying, so we just want to find out a little bit, just to let the listeners know a little bit about yourself, like what you do, maybe your age, stuff about yourself, stuff about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I live in Toronto, which is in Canada. It's a little ways away from London. I'm 24 years old. I go to the University of Toronto. I do my doctorate there. I do biomedical engineering. That's anything else? What are the other ones?
Nah, just anything you want. Anything.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty much it. For example, last time when I started off my thing, I told everybody that it takes me 40 minutes to get my hair done. So just interesting stuff, maybe. Just anything you want.
I mean, your hair looks good, so it makes sense.
It's always like the worst thing to be asked. Like I remember one of my first days at uni when I was an undergrad, like, tell us a fun fact about yourself. And then the last thing you can think of is a fun fact about yourself. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But yeah, I think doing a doctorate in biomed is a beast.
Well, I always say I have a twin brother. That's the easiest one. I'll just say, fun fact, twin brother.
Yeah, twin. Oh, wow. That's very interesting. That is very interesting. Okay. Well, on that bombshell, we shall be ending the podcast episode. So thank you guys so much for coming on to the SW6 Daily podcast. Before we hop off, is there anything you'd like to mention on the podcast before we leave, Aiden?
Yeah, Manchester United and Tottenham are not good teams. They're filled with a bunch of bums like Matic and Williams and Luke Shaw and players like that. They're not the fourth best team in the league. They never will be. Pogba's fantastic, but will never play well in a United jersey, and they pose no threat. Sorry.
Jesus bloody Christ. I shall be leaving his Twitter handle in the description
below. I feel like this is aimed at me. I feel like that was aimed at me, to be fair.
Aimed at everybody. It's aimed at everybody. It's aimed at anyone who thinks that Manchester United are going to be any good. And Jose Mourinho is an absolute finished manager, and Spurs will never challenge Chelsea for the top four.
Oh, yeah. Spurs won't challenge, but I think United are all right, man. I think like Martial, Pogba, Fernandes, Rashford, I think Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, De Gea. De Gea's a bit shaky still. But I think they're all right. I think they're all right. I think
they're right. Yeah, they're definitely all right. But I just think that Manchester United get this wonderful, wonderful home advantage because they play at Old Trafford, Theatre of Dreams. They've scored like 30 goals at home and they've scored 10 goals away. And I think when you try to equalize those and take all the fans away from the Premier League, Manchester United will play a lot like Burnley with a Paul Pogba in the middle of the field.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Okay, I shall be leaving. His Twitter account.
Yeah, please come for me. I love that.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So come at him at Aiden Malik. Now, Con, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you're up to or plug up?
I just want to say, you guys at SW6, like what you're doing on Twitter, the podcast, it's really good. I remember following you guys quite a while back now, and just to see the progress you've made, like the articles, the podcasts, the people you have. Jay's, like, I've never done a podcast with Jay before, but Jay's a top guy. I like him. 100%. Knows his stuff. Dammy, you're a good guy. Really do like you. People like Elizabeth, great people. And I really think you guys deserve a lot more than you currently get. And I'll try to help you with that as much as I can. You guys are great.
Bless up, my G.
Thank you very much.
I shall be leaving your details down in the description below. Jay, nobody cares about you, so we shall be ending the podcast right there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the SW16 podcast. Recently, I hit my one-year anniversary on this platform, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now I'm interviewing people like Ivan and G, people like Con, interviewing ex-footballers, interviewing journalists. I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody. This podcast is my baby before I actually did pick up SW6. Well, it can only be upwards and onwards from here, and things are only going to get better with the season starting. Watch out for the giveaway, and we shall catch you guys in the next episode. Okay, bye-bye. If I can find the fucking stop record button. Jesus Christ. Okay, there we go. Oh, okay. Let's stop.